analysis paralysis.
It's a real thing.
You were just telling me before we started this here that a lot of people might think the office space is dead. You're bringing kind of a new vision to it.
And so it just kind of snowballed into this beautiful thing. And I think when you kind of focus on the clients and what their needs are and try to like solve all these different problems, sometimes it might work out.
What is the single most important piece of advice you could give to a business owner or young entrepreneur who is starting?
Yeah, I think Andrew Robinson, I own and operate Slingshot Real Estate. We're a new investment company in Rochester, Minnesota. Recently acquired the Hub on 3rd, rebranded it, relaunched it, a shared space. Also have other real estate opportunities we're working on. But we're involved in residential, commercial, and development. And we see Rochester as a great market to invest in.
Yeah, it definitely is. Now, the big thing that we're talking about today is you have the Hub on 3rd, and you were just telling me before we started this here that a lot of people might think the office space is dead. You're bringing kind of a new vision to it. Tell us about that. You kind of have this like Airbnb concept, if you will.
So, you know, I think the Airbnb of offices is, it's sort of kind of, and I'll give you a kind of an example is like, we typically, a lot of these co-working spaces have open desk philosophy. This is very simple. It's 12 private offices, conference room, kitchen, reception area, what I call resource room, which has the printer, vending, ATM, virtual offices, right? What I see, and I've managed office space for, you know, 6-7 years and high value assets, you know, ranging from 80 to 100 million, you know, industrial office, life sciences. And the big thing that's starting to shift is the younger professionals are wanting experiences, right? And so whether that's, you know, traveling across the world, taking a picture on Instagram, they want things that are more turnkey, like, you know, just go to Ecuador and get into an Airbnb. What we're trying to do is essentially duplicate the Airbnb where it's full service turnkey, but also providing the services to help businesses grow, right? And so it's an interesting concept, but I think that the flexibility is critical for those younger companies. You know, they're not super well funded. And so, you know, building a platform that's super thoughtful, that has all the amenities they need, but for low cost, that's, you know, full service, meaning all expenses included. That's kind of where we're going. But the thing is, it's not like Airbnb in the fact of you can just go book it on an app for 2 nights. Now, we certainly have day passes, but that's really not going to be the bread and butter. The bread and butter is, you know, 3 to 36 months leasing, and they, you know, get all these amenities to grow with.
So you're really bringing every single thing that a person needs to just be able to get into an office and get started. You're really removing all that friction from it.
Yep.
Right. I think that's kind of the key here is you're making it super simple for someone to get in there. How do you see this helping not just an individual who's starting, but then they want to grow?
They can essentially explain, you know, what they're trying to accomplish. And a lot of times people don't know what they're trying to accomplish. They know that they need office space for their LLC, or they just don't want to have their residential address on their LLC. So they, maybe it makes sense for them to jump into a virtual office, which a virtual office just means they have a mailbox within the space, and then they get complimentary conference room hours. So they can still have some client-facing meetings, right? So that's like one step, right? And then maybe somebody calls and says, I just need a satellite office. We have, you know, 6 months of work here on a project. I'm traveling from wherever. And so this is full turnkey where they can literally just walk into the office, sign a 6-month lease, get going. The online platform's robust. You can book it within like 2 minutes and, you know, pay online.
Right. So you're bringing a lot of that. It's truly the key here is frictionless. Just get in and get going. Because like you said, the moment that somebody walks out, there's a good chance that you could lose them. You know, if they just walk out and they're waiting for you to send that email, if you can just get them there and get going.
Yeah. But I mean, it's all about, you know, the customer. And if it doesn't make sense for them, it doesn't make sense too, right?
Yeah.
The first week of owning the property, I essentially have, I started with 6 out of 12 leased. And the first week I get two calls. One is, I'm not paying rent. I can't pay rent. I know you just bought it. The second was, same thing, right? And I'm like, well, you know, I could complain and just be annoyed by it. But here's the reality is, you know, I'm a small business owner. They're a small business owner. Life happens, and they're going to focus on their shelter, their kids, their family, and they're not going to pay office rent. And so instead of me going down this litigation path, which is just foolish because the lawyers always win anyways, is to, you know, focus on what they can do and then how is this an opportunity for me, right? And so what ended up happening is I created a win-win situation where essentially one of them downgraded, went to a virtual office. The other one, we did a settlement agreement with a payment plan, right? But then I had it where essentially I had the opportunity to lease it from underneath them. You know, we did a termination agreement. But that's even better than that because then guess what? It created a win-win opportunity to where this other person that wanted to expand, he couldn't expand because that office was there. And so it just kind of snowballed into this beautiful thing. And I think when you kind of focus on the clients and what their needs are and try to like solve all these different problems, sometimes it might work out. And by having that person vacate that office helped that guy visualize about what that space could be. Could be overflow space. So then, you know, just, you know, essentially last night we expanded that lease and with expansion rights for two more offices, right? Now these, you know, some of the lease language will say like you have a 90 days to expand or somebody else can lease it, but it's super flexible in that regard. And I think it's a little bit different than how a lot of these co-working spaces are operating. You look at, you know, Collider as more of an open desk. You look at the shared lab that's coming with 1 and 2 Discovery Square. You know, that's catching a certain audience with, you know, you can rent by the bench there. But you're still not getting that privacy. And I think privacy is going to be critical for these companies. What I mean is, like, I don't want to be taking a phone call when my neighbor's sitting there and I have an investment business or insurance business or media business. You know, I want to have the privacy. And so I think it's starting to shift to these more private offices that are fully turnkey, but give you the opportunity to expand. And I think that's kind of where my strategy is going, is building a graduate program. And I don't mean it to sound like college, but I mean it's like step by a step up. And guess what? If your income grows, you can expand. But if things happen with your business, maybe it makes sense to take a couple steps back. But it's like a very white glove strategy, I think.
Yeah, you're making it easy for them to kind of grow or step back if they need to. And I think that you're onto something there too with the privacy. I've seen other co-working spaces, and the way that they take care of the privacy part of it is they have essentially phone booths.
Right.
And you just walk into a phone booth and you have your little desk there that you can put your computer on, but it's not always ideal, right? So this is better just to have, in my opinion. I like the idea of just being able to have your own office while you're there.
It depends on like what the customer needs, right? Because, you know, the Hub on Third fills a certain gap in the markets, right? And then traditional offices, you know, if you kind of look at, you have traditional offices, which is your standard, you know, try to do a 5-year lease, do some TI dollars, you know, build out a space. You know, you have your standard. And then you have, you know, the very entry level, which is, you know, virtual offices or this open desk concept. Mm-hmm. And so I think these private offices are kind of in the sweet spot. And, you know, I do see that the macro trends are starting to look this way. You know, you're looking at Yardi, one of the largest property management software companies, is heavily invested in this kind of concept with co-working, and they've taken a lot of investment, and they see around the corner, and they're seeing this because you have a lot of office space that's not being absorbed throughout, you know, the country, most downtown areas. And so, you know, creating an experience through this environment, I think, and people want that itch. I think people are so annoyed with, not annoyed, I'd say, but, you know, the work from home model, it's kind of ran its course. People are starting to realize that this hybrid model is going to be here to stay. And so now, you know, people are shrinking their footprints. But I do see a lot of landowners that, you know, it's a little bit more costly from a TI standpoint to build these separate offices. But, you know, the whole formula changes because now you're maybe, you know, instead of getting $25 per foot, you're getting $47 per foot because you're just renting per the office.
Right.
So it's just a different formula, but it takes more active management and, you know, you buy a 12-unit apartment building, you think it'll just automatically rent itself. This 12-unit office building essentially is an active management. And I do think real estate is going to become more and more active, especially with experiences.
I think that you're definitely on to something with all of this. And honestly, I agree with you. Having just the ability to go rent something out for a little bit is huge. I don't think that the work from home, strictly working from home, is the way to go. I think that there's something to be said about being able to be around others and be able to kind of work with others or just get to know others too. I think it brings a different feel to things. It's hard being at home 24/7 by yourself and your own thoughts.
Yeah. My kind of investment thesis is that I do think we're starting to bottom in the office market, and I tend to go where the money is. You know, if a lot of people are focusing on, you know, even over here in Rochester, on the west side of Rochester, well, then maybe it makes sense to go the other way because you're going to get better deals that way because you're not competing with so many people.
Right. Yeah. Don't always follow the masses. Sometimes you just got to go where the niche is a little bit.
Yeah.
And, step away. I want to, if you can tell me, so you bought this Hop on Third. Tell me a little bit about it. Like, what were some of the important factors for you then when looking at buying an investment property for this concept?
I think it's a little bit to talk about. I'll talk about the factors, but I want to kind of get you in my mindset of where I was about 3 or 4 months ago. So things really happened really rapidly. So I had the opportunity. So I've only been in Rochester for a year and a half, roughly. You know, I jumped here from, I was working with CBRE in Salt Lake City. And then I moved to manage 1 and 2 Discovery Square and working with Mortensen and Mayo and DMC. And, you know, so I had the opportunity to acquire another duplex, which is the neighboring duplex, on a very strategic piece of land. It's right on Center Street, east of it by a few blocks. I had two paths to choose. Is, you know, I could continue working traditional route, which is what I call, you know, stacking duplexes and snowballing to duplexes to quads to 8 units, which takes you, you know, 5 to 10 years to keep snowballing and just staying residential. But I really kind of looked at myself. I'm like, well, I have the skill sets. I have kind of the vision for where I want to take this. Is I could take the conservative route, or I could take the really risky route and do my duplex plus duplex developments land, and then do this commercial building, which arguably, you know, it's essentially buying a couple million dollars in real estate in about a year and a half. And so, you know, it's been really busy. And so I kind of went the more exponential route. And because I'm like, we'll figure it out. Well, you know, I know how to run these numbers. I know how to manage real estate, and I understand marketing very well. So those are the kind of two paths. And so I said, I spoke with my brothers too. I'm like, you know, I want you to keep me grounded here. Am I being crazy? What I'm doing is a full-time job. You know, I have to be self-employed if I'm going to do this, because if you try to do it with a full-time job, it's just not going to work. And so, yeah, so it's self-employed, and then working on doing this infill development with the accessory dwellings, and then this space. And so to kind of answer your questions about the important factors is, that piece is important because I had a big risk analysis.
You have to calculate all that, right? Yeah. It's important to do that.
Yeah. And so, you know, but the important factors I looked for was like, okay, it's a distressed asset, right? It's negative cash flow. It wasn't operating as best as it could be, right? So that was an important piece. You know, I buy value add real estate. You know, I'm not institutions where I can just, I need high cash on cash returns and yields. You know, I don't need I need like much more. And so, you know, that was an important factor. Looking at Destination Medical Center and the potential over the next 10 years. So I looked at that and I said, okay, Rochester downtown, a lot of people are saying there's a lot of office space and it's not being absorbed very quickly. Well, you know, it just depends on the product you have. And I'm hoping my product is going to deliver.
Time will tell, right?
Time will tell. But yeah, those are two factors. And then, you know, just generally speaking is like, what's the macroeconomic outlook on office space, right? And I looked at it this way too. I said, okay, so, you know, if it's 200,000 a unit for an apartment, you know, if you want to buy a 12 unit apartment building, it's $200,000 per unit. Maybe that's too high. Maybe let's just do 100,000. So if it's, you know, 1.2 million, it's like, well, you could essentially buy this concept for 70, 80,000 per unit, mm-hmm. A little bit more active management. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a limited time for people to get in the game because the dollar continues to be printed and these assets keep inflating, right? And the probability of them going down in some of these areas is unlikely. And so it's, you have to get in the game. And, you know, that's, I think, what a lot of people like my age are afraid of is getting in the game because they think there's going to be a big correction and, you know, maybe there will be.
Maybe there will be, but maybe there won't be, right? We'll never know.
What we do know is that they're going to continue to print money. The dollar's going to continue to lose value. And so hard assets are going to continue to be the place to, you know, have money into.
Right.
Not in the bank. You know, a lot of people sat on 100 grand sitting in there and they're losing arguably 20% a year. Like, what's the hurdle rate for inflation, truly? You know, if you ran the numbers during the pandemic, you had a pretty high hurdle rate, you know, 12, 14% easily.
So this is, like, you're bringing up, I feel like, a total different factor that people aren't really thinking of. It's just, like, internally, if we just kind of take back here a step, you're thinking internally, like, can I do this? What's going to be best for me and my needs, right? Yeah. I think it's more than just looking at, is this the right location? Is this the right feel for what I need? It has parking, which is great. Like, those are all physical things, but you also need to make sure that you ask yourself, can I do this? Am I ready to do this? But then just trying to find too, is this the right time for me? Those are like all deeper questions that I feel like people really need to be able to ask.
It's really alignment on what your ultimate goal is. And I think a lot of people, I have this conversation with my brothers too. You know, one's in Colorado and
love Colorado.
Yeah. He's in Durango, nice. Mountain biking and
yeah,
it's beautiful. But, you know, challenges is, you know, when, the, you know, the Fed printed all the money in the pandemic, everything doubled in price, right? And so, you know, one of the reasons why I left Salt Lake City, you know, of course I left to be closer to my family because I'm getting to that point where I want to be closer. And the properties doubled in value because I was going to initially start my business probably there. And then it was doubled in value. I'm like, Jesus, they printed 40% of all the money supply during the pandemic. So, and one of the reasons you're probably like, why does this guy know so much about currency and debasement? Well, it's because I was sitting there looking at my brothers. We're like, okay, so, you know, it was the big goal. It's like, let's make six figures, right? Six figures by 30 years old, we're going to be sitting cool, right? You remember you were told that probably, you know, like growing up?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so we hit that. You know, one of my brothers and I both live in Salt Lake. So we hit that and we're like, well, I can't buy a property here. You know, we're talking a $640,000 duplex that doesn't cash flow. The only way is potential equity gain because, mm-hmm. you know, things will appreciate.
Right, right.
And so, you know, I looked at that and I'm like, doesn't maybe make sense for me to try to do it here. And then Rochester was kind of the sweet spot.
Yeah, I think it's a good place, truthfully.
Yeah,
Rochester is awesome. I think having Mayo Clinic here will help you out. There's a lot of people who are coming here from all over the world that might just need a spot for a month while their family is here or for a couple of days while their family is here, and you're providing that opportunity. Now, we've gone down the path of, like, how did you come up with this idea and bringing it to life, finding the space, but now you need to be able to fill it and you need to be able to get your name out there. So how are you getting your name out there to others? I got to imagine a lot of online, a lot of marketing. Walk us through that.
Yeah. You know, I think where the eyes are is the money is. is the, you know, old saying from marketing, right? And, you know, so obviously what we're doing today, you know, is video. I think, one, it starts with the product, right? People will, when they start walking in, they'll say, okay, this is a pretty cool concept, right? That will spread. You know, word of mouth has always been, I think, like a good 70% of marketing, if I remember right. You know, people's talk. It's really high.
Yeah. People are quick to, they'll talk, but they'll talk even quicker if it's not good.
Yes, that's a good point too. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, making sure you have a great experience and then it should kind of turn into something, of course, but it does start with the good product, and how you build a good product is really understanding what the market is asking for.
Right. Right. What the needs are. Yep.
You know, of course, LoopNet and Crexy, and, you know, I have a beautiful website, The Hub on Third. And then, you know, Facebook, Craigslist, you know, pretty much, you know, putting the marketing out there as best as I can. And then I looked at it as people asked me, well, Andrew, I reached out to all the brokers and they're like, Andrew, why don't you just manage this and lease in? I'm like, yeah, I certainly can, but, I'm looking for partners long term. And so I kind of looked around and said, okay, you know, what does that long-term partner look like for leasing? What is the audience I'm trying to attract? Which it can be really anybody. It just we'll find out. And then I looked at, you know, who is really keeping up with as far as looking around the corner with what's coming next as far as marketing. And so I looked throughout the brokerage, and, you know, obviously RGI was the company that I wanted to partner with because I saw that and I saw the vision for it. And so I guess I looked at it as I'm a new guy in town. And, you know, this is at the end of the day, it's a relationship business. And so for me, it takes me time to build relationships with all sorts of different people. Right. And so to help me get leased, RGI has the relationships with the existing people. And so now we can partner on, you know, getting it leased up and doing bigger things in the future.
I think that you're absolutely right. For finding the people for your space and what you're trying to do. It's not that you can't have national companies in there. You absolutely can. But I think the key is going to be the people of the community and working with those that know the community as well. So then going back to who are those people that you work with, and you just got to try to do the research, you know, figure out who's going to be.
Yeah. I feel that, you know, I'm just one product in the whole area, you know, and you guys feel the call. And you, I'm sure, ask the right questions and say, well, what are you looking for? You know, are you looking for a 5-year lease? Are you looking for 500 square feet, 1,000? Maybe they're just kind of fishing. You know, you never know. But the reality is you're going to be able to say, okay, I know of this product, right? And if I didn't reach out to you guys, then that product might not have been top of mind to you guys. And right. So that's kind of my strategic view is that you know, there's a big thing. This is, you know, not political, but, you know, are realtors worth it anymore? You know, that's the big conversation. And it's like, why are we paying 3% when I do all the work on Zillow? You know, there's always merit to a lot of these things, but the reality is you're paying for the relationships and the intel, right? Because, you know.
Time saved.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I look at this too. I hear that all the time for real estate agents as like, what are we paying them for? You know, like I look at it this way too. I think that, I'll use plumbers for example. I think people can sometimes get mad at plumbers. Like you charged me $500 for this or $1,000. You were here for 20 minutes.
Experience.
Yeah. You know how long it would take me to fix that problem? A couple days, you know? So it's like, it's worth it. Yeah. You know, like if you want to move quick, you want to get things filled, you just have to fill yourself with the right team. And I think that agents or plumbers, whatever, there's still the need for those things. And there will be, you need that still human connection. We're going to go into AI here next. I just don't think AI in our lifetime anyway, will be able to take over the human connection that we all still really do need. As we were just talking about at the beginning of this, you're creating a space where there is connections between people. We still are going to need that no matter what.
It really is. You know, like, right. So like I have the Airbnb, right? And it's, we have a 1901 property. You know, it's been remodeled. It looks really nice. It's, you know, every detail thought about. But, you know, it's a 1901 property. You're still going to have issues, right? But the reality is I can, when I actually go downstairs and I talk to them, right, they'll tell me things about their lives or their where they've been. And part of the reason people actually, because it's a duplex, right? And part of the reason why some people are actually booking it, the Airbnb, it's like occupied maybe 98% of the time. It's a pretty successful Airbnb. But they told me, they're like, we knew that you and Rose lived upstairs and you make cookies for us, right? And so,
which you brought in some cookies earlier, and they are delicious. So shout out, Rose.
And I will plug, we're going to start a cookie company. No. But it's about that personal connection. Because I will say, from a review standpoint, the probability of reviews turning bad increases, I think, I don't know the number, but I would imagine, my gut tells me, dramatically, if you don't have a personal touch. But if you have, if you talk with them, like, you know, if, like, say the blinds were having an issue or something, like something very simplistic where you're like, okay, really? Well, if you talk to them, they're going to probably just say 5-star, you know, great stay, because they had the personal connection. But if you just ignore them and you know, don't respond to them, yeah, it's about the human. I'm really, even like we're all like Airbnb messaging and stuff, it's really about that interaction, I do think.
I think that will always be here, truthfully. Yeah. We need that. That being said, though, you were talking earlier about being able to keep prices down, and by being able to keep the prices down, you can make more fair price for your customers that are coming in. One of the ways that I imagine you're doing that, and I've seen it, you've built your entire website using AI essentially, right? So how are you utilizing AI to help you out through this whole process?
Like any tool, you know, you still have to have like an idea of how to use the tool, right? You know, I was an early adopter of AI, but yeah, I utilized pretty much AI to help me draft how the website should go, so run, right? Should you have a hero video at the beginning? You know, what you should have it laid out as, right? The copy, having it really, I use AI to actually, I would go, hey, ChatGPT, I want you to look at this, and I'll tell it whatever I wanted to say and say, is this too much? Is this too much copy? Because a lot of times these websites are too much copy. Just get to the meat and potatoes.
What do you mean by that copy?
What I mean is like 6 paragraphs of copy.
Yeah. You know, just a like, ton of, yeah.
Tell me the meat and potatoes.
But you can't have too little, you know, it's got to be the right amount.
Or you just have it go to another page, but the homepage should be very, and I'm not a perfect website creator. I'm constantly evolving and learning. But I utilized that, and then it helped me build the whole page. And, you know, I did all of that, arguably, which probably would have costed, I don't know, probably $5,000. Did that for $40 a month, plus a $20 ChatGPT subscription. But I use ChatGPT and Grok, and I put them against each other. This is not going away. It's only going to get crazier with AI agents coming, and you're going to be having assistants. And, you know, we can go down a rabbit hole with Optimus.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it's here to stay. And the sooner people embrace it, their margins are going to get much better. Or I like to phrase it as that I can provide a better value to people with having lower overhead, right? And still maintain, you know, certain cash flows I'm trying to hit.
One thing that I had thought about as you were talking about AI is, and I know you like this guy a lot, is Gary Vee. Right. And he talks like you do have to embrace AI because it's going to be here and it's going to stay here. And I just saw a video that he was doing recently where he was talking about, we used to make fun of our grandparents for not knowing how to use Facebook. Right. Like our kids or generations underneath us could be making fun of us because we don't know how to use AI or ChatGPT or whatever. So like we need to stay with it. Otherwise, eventually it's going to walk past us. It's important to keep educating ourselves in it.
Yeah, it's always healthy to have an open mind.
Just kind of thinking back on yourself here, what is the single most important piece of advice you could give to a business owner or young entrepreneur who is starting?
Yeah, I think a couple different things is, what's the outcome you're trying to achieve? And you have to really think hard about this, right? And really, really stretch your time horizon out, not to 2 years, 5 years, not to a Lambo. It's, you know, what are you trying to do for your family, right? And then you kind of back into it and develop a plan. When I was 22, 23, I said, okay, I, what I want to do is start a real estate investment company. What do I need to do that? Well, I have multifamily experience. I've learned some great people in La Crosse. Then I jumped to the big fish. I went to CBRE. And so I learned all those asset classes. And I learned how to think from really good mentors. But I had this idea 10 years ago, and now it's just kind of coming to fruition. So thinking about that time horizon and kind of planting that seed, that's an important one. But you need to have some kind of strategy. You need to have some kind of goal and strategy. But then I want to say something a little more dumber is that a lot of people, analysis paralysis.
It's a real thing.
It's pretty much majority of people is they're thinking of everything that can go wrong, right? And they're not thinking of what the potential upside is. I'm a big fan of possibilities and probabilities, being dumb enough to do something. Just be dumb enough. Because what I mean by that is if you're already over-analyzing everything, it's like you're already thinking of everything, which is already a good thing, but just jump in and be dumb enough to do something.
Just give it a whirl. You got to try it. Yeah.
I mean, if you're already kind of that crazy, anxiety-rich, you know, person that thinks of every angle, like an engineer or a doctor, they want to read everything, right, which is good, but...
Yeah, I want them reading everything.
Especially the doctors
reading
and
everything.
And the guys building airplanes.
Yeah. Those ones, please read everything. I think to summarize kind of what you're saying is you got to find your why. What's your purpose? What's driving you? You got to dream a little bit then, and you got to find a way to execute those dreams. Well, I want to thank you very much for coming in today and taking some time to share with us your history, your story, what you've done, and... I want to thank you for the opportunity that you're bringing to other entrepreneurs out there. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.